Judge Amy Coney Barrett is looking to get voted out of the Judiciary Committee as a Supreme Court justice nominee from President Trump. She would be voted out of committee on Thursday the 22nd, full Senate vote sometime next week. And to take us through all of this and even some of the threatened repercussions from the Democrats is Mark Chenoweth. He is the Executive Director and General Counsel for NCLA. That stands for the New Civil Liberties Alliance. You've seen him all over the place. He's a great thinker. He's been on cable television for the last few years. And Mark, sure. We welcome you to the Morning Answer. Thank you for being with us.
Well, thanks for having me, Jennifer.
And take us through what you made of Judge Amy Coney Barrett's appearance last week, because me, as a conservative on the show, I thought she was phenomenal. Brian, as a liberal, said, well, she didn't answer any questions. What do you think, as someone who has actually vetted Supreme Court nominees, what do you think of her performance at the end of the week?
If I had to sum it up with one word, Jennifer, I would say unscathed. I think that the way that these processes work, there's a series of trap questions that are put in front of these nominees, and they're taught not to fall into that trap. That's why you heard her say so often, well, I can't answer that question because if I lay out a position on that, I'll have to recuse myself later on and so forth. And so I think that she did a very fine job of answering the questions that weren't that kind of trap question, and also did a nifty job of dodging the questions that she really couldn't answer any more than Justice Kagan or other predecessors could answer when they were in front of the committee.
Question for you. The question of recusal, when it came to the concept of the judge potentially, as all judges, justices, must at some point consider recusal, it's part of being a judge, part of that calling of that vocation. The question is, with the question of recusal with regard to potential arguments brought before the court about election illegality in this presidential election, which, my friend, you know, is 2 weeks from today, where President Trump's already saying there'll be challenges to it. And he already said when there was a vacancy that he needs someone there for him, you know, for this time. He said things like that. We all know that. That is a different type of recusal question, for there's a very clear and present likelihood that that will happen, and that the president said, I need my person there for that. Come on now. I mean, couldn't she answer that one? Or do you expect she'll just recuse herself in the event that happened?
Well, I think there's a chance that she would recuse herself. I think it does depend a little bit on what the particular controversy is that makes it up to the court. Now, we were lucky in 2000 during the Bush v. Gore controversy that none of the justices sitting on the court were appointed by Bush or Gore. Obviously, Ginsburg and Breyer had been appointed by the Clinton administration, which was part of Clinton-Gore. And neither one of them recused themselves from the Bush-Gore decision when it came out. So I don't think that the precedent isn't that a justice necessarily has to recuse themselves from an election controversy just because they were appointed by one of the people in it. That's one of the reasons they have life tenure, is so that they are no longer bound to the person who appointed them.
What do you think about the questions from the opposition? Because obviously we know that, unlike any time in our history, really, we're so divided, Mark Chenoweth, that Republicans will vote to confirm will confirm Amy Coney Barrett. Democrats will not. Her qualifications, unfortunately, don't really matter. What do you think of the performance of the Democrats? We saw with Justice Brett Kavanaugh that they really came in with these surprises, these attacks that were so very personal and ended up being really not true, unvetted. Do you expect any more of that in the next couple of days before the committee vote? And what do you think of Democrats' behavior in trying to catch Amy Coney Barrett in questions that they knew she couldn't answer?
Well, I don't think we'll see too much more of that before the committee vote. There may be a round of mini speeches by folks as part of that vote, and so you may see sort of a summary of views. And I expect that when you get to the floor of the Senate and have a floor vote, you may see speeches from folks who didn't have a chance to answer or to ask questions, rather, in committee. But my general impression was that they took the opportunity to rail against President Trump and to suggest that some of the cases pending in front of the court later this term, like the case involving Obamacare, were a threat to the American people, that folks' ability to have pre-existing conditions covered were in jeopardy from that decision and so forth. And I think that that's why you saw those sorts of questions being asked, and then you saw when the Republican senators had their turn, rather than really delving into her background, sometimes they would rehabilitate that issue. So you had, for example, Senator Crapo say, look, all of the senators up here support providing help for pre-existing conditions. That's not going to go away. And so the debate was sidetracked on those sorts of issues rather than have a lot of detailed discussion about Justice Barrett's views.
With on the Morning Answer here for a Tuesday question, my friend, with the way senators now vote on Supreme Court nominees in confirmation hearings and confirmation votes, I always feel a little bit older when I understand I've lived through a time in history that's never coming back. Judge Scalia was confirmed 98 to zip. There are plenty of Democrats in the U.S. Senate when that happened. And these votes were not uncommon. These very, very much approving by not always unanimous, but sometimes pretty close. Are those days actually over? Will we in our lifetime see votes like that on Supreme Court nominees from the U.S. Senate?
I doubt we're going to see 98 to zero again. I really do. I think that, I mean, so Justice Scalia was the first Italian-American. That was maybe part of that. And the first Catholic justice in a while. So, I think that, but I do think that we could see a return to something that's not quite as partisan as what we're seeing now, where it's really a very little crossover on these votes. But with the kind of personal attacks that we've seen, not so much this time, but certainly with Justice Kavanaugh, you do see the parties retreat to their corners and vote in that partisan fashion. But I think that if we see a candidate in the future, a nominee in the future who is more who is perceived to be replacing someone who had similar views to them, then it could be less contentious. I think Justice Kavanaugh was seen as being more conservative than
sure.
Justice Kennedy. I think, obviously, Justice Barrett is seen as more conservative than Justice Ginsburg, and so that's one of the reasons why you have more animosity maybe from the other side with those picks.
Mark Chenoweth, our guest, Executive Director and General Counsel for the New Civil Liberties Alliance. Mark, in our last moment here, we've heard a lot about court packing, about adding Supreme Court justices as retribution if Democrats take control of the Senate. And, of course, there's a lot of back and forth about whether or not Joe Biden supports this. Why is that dangerous in your estimation? What kind of precedents will that set?
Well, I think it's dangerous because it does away with the independence of the judiciary, which has been a bulwark of individual liberties and protecting civil liberties across the United States. And if the Democrats do that next year, you can count on the Republicans adding a couple of seats the next time that they're in charge. And furthermore, you can count on state courts around the country when Republican governors and state legislatures have the ability to shift the balance of state legislatures. They're going to follow that lead and follow that model. And you'll just destroy judicial independence across the United States of America. When this idea came up to pack the courts in 1937, the Senate Judiciary Committee put out a bipartisan report that completely repudiated the idea and said that they hoped that it would never see the light of day again because it was such a horrid idea. It's really authoritarian, and it's the kind of thing that no democratically elected leader should even consider, let alone propose.
All right, great information there. Mark Chenoweth, again, New Civil Liberties Alliance. Get more information from them, nclalegal.org. Mark, you're welcome back here anytime so that you can help us through the rest of this process.
Well, thank you, Jennifer. Thank you, Brian. A pleasure to be with you this morning.
Thank you.